This seance was recorded on the 14th of February, 1990, medium legislatively. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nigel.
Hello?
Nigel.
Nigel?
No.
No?
Nigel.
Nigel. Nigel.
Nigel.
Nigel.
I come.
Yes.
If I may.
Of course.
I would like to speak to you. I am not used to coming, but they very kindly let me come. I am anxious, if I may, to speak to you. I have been here on my side of life for many, many years of your time. My name is Adieu. My name is Adieu. I have been many times to this house when you have come together in love as brothers and sisters to wait for the word of the Spirit of love and truth to come to you. When I was in your world, I was also what you today would call a medium. But of course, you know, all those many years ago, it was very difficult because it was not as you do today. Understand and accept these things which come from outside your earthly world. I had studied in a religious group for a number of years to learn, as I thought, the truth of eternal spiritual understanding. I do not wish to suggest that those years that I gave in that way were wasted, but nevertheless, it opened up indirectly to the knowledge and the realization that you have today, now, as you come together in this room. Of course, when you are, as I was in those times, talked into accepting certain things which I then questioned after a time, and then when I tried to get answers, they were not forthcoming, and I was, I suppose, what you would now call ostracized by the brethren and the friends that I had so long been associated with. And I was turned away, and I was, because it was my desire to find the truth, I was turned away, and I did go out into the hills, and I did get it, and I did open up myself in a way which, at the time, was was extraordinary for me. I had always an inner knowledge, perhaps, or realization that it was possible to communicate with those who had gone before. And as a student, having read the Good Book, I saw many instances of this happening, and I could not understand why it was so misunderstood, whereas within my inner self I knew it to be so, and because of things that had happened to me, I knew there was the possibility, at least, of being in tune and in touch with the so-called discarnate spirit beings who had gone before. During my period of time in those years, I had become very close and very much a friend of a certain person who, by his nature, showed great affection for me. But I realized, as he did too, that we had to be extremely careful, and we knew that our relationship could have been misunderstood by the rest of the people, the congregation of others, who were by their very nature, most of them, so dedicated to silence in many instances and to prayer, and not allow themselves to have any material or physical feeling or emotion one towards another, other than brotherly love. And even then, to a great extent, it was stifled. And when my friend died, I was heartbroken, because he was the only one that at times I could open up my soul to and unburden myself. And I was fighting, I suppose, within my inner self for freedom. I did not realize it, of course, as freedom, because in some respects I was happy with the rest of monks, but I could not help my nature. But apart from that, soon after the passing of my friend, I had a dream, at least that is what I thought it was, when he appeared to me. And I could see clearly and recognize distinctly that it was he. And he smiled, and I heard his voice, and it was that which really made me decide eventually that I had to go away. And I had to, as it were, be in touch with him. He beckoned me, and at first I did not quite understand, but he spoke, and he beckoned and pointed to the door of my cell. And in this dream, as I thought, I followed him. And we went through the corridors and eventually to the main door of the monastery. And it was so strange. He walked through the door, but without any fear, within myself I followed him. And we walked and walked and walked, so it seemed, in what I still thought was a dream. And we went up into the mountains, which were several miles, as you turned down, from where we were incarcerated. And he pointed to a place, to a point, and it was as if it were a tunnel, which of course it was not exactly that, but it was an opening in the rock. And I followed him. And then he sat down, and I sat down. And he looked and he said, I shall come to you regularly and I shall tell you many things that I have experienced and witnessed, but it is essential that you are alone. And I shall come to you and I will make it so that you will hear and know of the things that I am so anxious to relate to you. For they are not for yourself alone, they are for those who will listen to the truth and the voice of the Spirit. You will stay here over several years of your earthly time, and you will then go from place to place, from marketplace to marketplace, from this place unto that place, and thou shalt speak of the things that are of the Spirit. And when you are questioned, and some people who doubt you, and perhaps be full of fear, I will impress you, or I will give to you messages that you can give to them, that they will know it must be so. And in many instances I was able to help many people in a restricted kind of way. But what I am trying to say is this: above all else, my friends, when you come together in love, in harmony, thinking of the things that truly are of the Great Spirit Himself, the manifesting power of the love of that Spirit encompasses you, and it shall uplift you, make you wise, and make you more understanding of your own responsibility one to another, and indeed unto us who come to you. Never think that we are sacrificing ourselves when we come down to your vibration of earth. It is as nothing to us. The short space of what you call time is insignificant. What I want you above all else to know is that our love makes many things possible, individually and collectively, not only when you come here and listen to the voice of the Spirit and come together in that harmony that is so important and essential. It is what you do in your daily lives. Some of you may serve in this way and others in another. You may not always feel, perhaps, the power of the Spirit with you, yet it is there. And you will do unto many people things that are good, things that are warm and kind and uplifting. Sometimes it may only be a little message to comfort some soul who is sad or lonely, someone who perhaps has lost, as they term it, their dear one, maybe their husband or whoever. that person is around and about them, from time to time visits them and loves them still, and looks to the time when the person who is still in your world is released from the physical shell and free to join and be once again happily reunited. I wonder sometimes if you all realize your responsibility. It is not easy for you. There will be times, as indeed it so was with me so long ago, when there will be people who will revile you, who will say that you are mentally disturbed. And when you have been, as I once was, so caught, as it were, by the power of the church, and I do not want to give the impression that I bear any ill will or bad feeling towards the church. It is not easy for them to have an open mind about these things. They have, like I was in the early years, I was to a great extent made to accept without question the words that they had to give, and the impressions that they made at that time was of love. And I doubt not it was of love of a kind, for there are many kinds of love, children. We may love each other in various ways, but believe me, the lasting love is the spiritual love that overcomes all things, material and the flesh. I know it is not easy for you. I know that those who take up the path of truth to serve, to give, to make others realize and understand that life is truly eternal, that we are with you constantly, though you see us not. And you are spiritual beings who are yet in embryo. You have your physical frame. It is the house in which the Spirit lives for a time. You know of these things, but if I repeat the things that you already know, try to realize that I speak not only to you, I speak to many people who may listen to the voice and the truth of the Spirit via your mechanism of machine that you use to take down. As we would have done centuries ago, we would have taken it down and written it and then copied it and brought it out in some measure, perhaps as a book, illuminated with painting. But how much was it illuminated with truth? Many of those things I know now were not so. But I do not come just to castigate or to use anything that may be misunderstood or misinterpreted in regard to my life or the life of many another such as myself who have given in their own fashion themselves to the church. It is not the church that matters. It is the realization of the truth within and expressing that truth and living that truth and loving that truth and being that truth. You, my dear children, are very blessed. If I have taken, as indeed I know I have, a lot of time, it is because I feel the need myself, strange as it may even seem to you, to relieve myself, or release, if you like, my message to you, knowing it will go forth and others shall hear it in the years that lie ahead. I am not familiar with the method that is usually used, I understand. So I should disrobe. Know that we are with you still, and we are giving to you all that is possible for us to give in love. Dwell in peace together, and in love together, and in harmony together, for there is strength in unity. If there is no unity, then indeed it is for us more difficult, but we will always strive, whatever the condition. And I must say, when I come here, I sense and feel each one of you, and your reasons for being here, and the fact that you are here in harmony and in love, as true brothers and sisters. Now I am told I have to leave you, but I leave you with love. That is the most important thing of all. Love. Bless you. I have to go.
May I just ask you, did you have a problem with the sight in one of your eyes?